This is episode 5 of season 3, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Lucy Biggers from Now This.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
Have you seen those cool short videos on social media that are a couple minutes long and cover different inspiring stories and interesting current events? You may have taken notice of that bright yellow Now This logo that pops up at the beginning and the end of the video. What you may not know is that there was once a young video producer named Lucy Biggers, who at Now This started covering stories like Standing Rock and microplastics in your face wash. Well, Lucy took this passion for sustainability news and created her own niche. Some of the stories that Lucy and her team has produced has gotten over 9 million views. So the next time you think your social media likes and shares aren't making a difference, think twice, because viral storytelling could be the thing that changes the tide. Hey, Lucy, welcome to Trash Talking.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell everyone who you are and what it is that you do.
Awesome. So I'm Lucy Biggers. I'm a producer and host for the company Now This News. I'm actually on the Now This original side of Now This News. If you ever see those really fast paced, like texts on screen videos that are on social media, like everywhere, that's the company that I work for. And then for that company, I host a series focused on sustainability called One Small Step. And I've been doing that since the beginning of 2019, but I was doing a little bit of sustainability stuff for a few years before that. And it's really fun. It's basically a chance to like look at steps that individuals can take to live more sustainably, you know, ways to lower your waste, composting, what happens when you clothing donate and recycle, and then also just highlighting businesses or individuals or activists who are really in the climate change movement and bringing like their work to our audience.
I love that, especially because we're all home right now. We're kind of working from home. And I think there's a lot of things that people maybe do on a normal everyday basis. For example, composting New York City. This has become very difficult through COVID. So I'm kind of curious, like, have you seen any adjustments or like, have you yourself made any adjustments to continue to lower your footprint while you're working from home?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really challenging for me because I think COVID kind of challenged a lot of my assumptions around how sustainability works. Like I just took for granted that the composting program would always be there. And, you know, all of a sudden you realize it's not there and you're like, wow, I depend so much on these systems to like, you know, lower my carbon footprint, like you said. And so I think that like, for me, I've just been doing a lot of reflecting and I'm like, wow, like, there's so much that individuals can do, but we really need everybody, or we need really good laws and we need really good, you know, organizations that we support with our taxpayer dollars or whatever ways to make sure that when we're doing those programs are there. So like composting is a perfect example. Like in New York City, was shut down for like 3 months.
Yeah.
And it was really depressing. And I learned how to compost like in my parents' backyard.
Nice.
And I did that because I was isolating and I like turned it into a project. But then there was a huge campaign to save it. And luckily, like those activists who really tried really hard and advocated for the compost to get saved through the budget were successful. So now it's been returned and it's like not at the biggest capacity, but it's back. I don't know. It's just been wild for me because I'm like, all right, like, you know, bring your own bag and like bring your coffee cup. And then like, not allowed
right.
to do that. And then I'm also, so then I get to a point where I'm like, oh, there's not that much I can really do, like, except for I'm not traveling or flying anymore.
Right.
But I think it's just like, honestly, like, it's, I think all of us, COVID has made us like reflect on a lot of things. And like, I obviously still do the best that I can. I'm mindful of the ways that I create with reusables, you know, not mindlessly going through paper towels and trying to understand where my food's coming from and, you know, using public transportation and all these things. But it's been a really awakening thing for me, how much I depend on the system.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so interesting. It's really good that you mentioned the thing about like travel. I know that there's been like a lot of article coverage about like how people have seen nature kind of rebound since people are not out and about as much. But I think it definitely kind of like offsets each other.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. Well, there's so much more waste. Like the single use stuff is crazy. Like I was just looking around. I'm like, wow, we were able to produce all these masks in like a month.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden everyone has a mask and then you think about where it goes and how it's getting processed and at home waste is, you know, risen by 15 to 25%. So we have haulers that are like working way harder. And then you have corporate waste that's I was essentially at zero for 4 months in New York.
Yeah.
So it's just a constant shifting and all these systems really just being challenged so much.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you bring that up. And so how did you get into this? Because not only did you kind of come from a journalism background, but you mentioned that you had covered sustainability before coming to Now This. I'm kind of curious how you got into sustainability.
Yeah. Well, so actually, no, I started covering sustainability at Now This, but I only started my series 2 years ago. So that was like kind of confusing. But like, basically, I've been at Now This for 5 years. And then prior to that, I was worked in local news. I was a like morning news anchor right when I left college and like did that whole local news route, which is like a fun thing to do if people like TV. Like that's, they always say you can like go to a small town. So I lived in Mississippi for 2 years. Then I came back. I was really burnt out on like the local news because it's really negative. Like it was just like, I felt like every night I was just covering like house fires and mugshots of like teenagers holding up like Dollar General stores. And I was like, this is so sad. Like, and I'm just perpetuating this system of fear. And so I like got really jaded by that and I moved home and then I started looking for jobs. And that was when there was a huge digital boom. This is like 2015, I guess. There was like so much investment online journalism. And so I got really lucky that I got in at Now This right when they were growing. They had like 30 people. And while I was there, Now This's philosophy is really like, if you're as a young producer at the time, I was like 25. Like as a young producer, like if you care about a story, like our audience is going to care about it too. So we had a lot of like leeway.
Wait, so what? But why was sustainability important to you?
I like just love the innovation of it. Like, I think it's like the problem solving and like seeing the really smart people who take something that you can see is broken, but then instead of just focusing on the problem, they're coming up with a solution. And that's what always like fascinated me. So I just like started picking those stories when I got to Now This. And like, it just became my beat where like all of a sudden I just started to know more people or people would send me links. And so I would cover like a hydroponic farm or I covered Standing Rock in 2016. Which was like very eye-opening. And that was when it like became, I was like, okay, I'm gonna like stick to this beat. I felt like in the 2015, it was like just, I was surprised that nobody was talking about it. Like I find the like very, I kind of like find science and technology really interesting. And then also there's so many human interest stories of people who are being impacted by climate change as well. So there's so much going on. And like, I just sort of got attracted to these stories. Like one example is like, do you remember in our face? This is so random. This is like the really random stuff that I'm obsessed with that like is so niche. We used to have face wash. That'd be like Morning Burst by like Clearasil. And they'd have like these little specks in it.
Oh, yeah. The microplastics. Yeah.
Yes. So in 2015, President Obama passed a law that said like they'll be banned in 2017 or something. Mm-hmm. It was a random press release article. And I was like, I want to do a video about this. So I like did a social media video. I wasn't even in it, but I like filmed the face wash and was like, your face wash could be getting banned because of like plastics in it. And like that video, I swear to God, got like 5 or 6 million views on Facebook.
Wow.
Like just from post, because people are like, oh my gosh, I have that face wash. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It was causing a problem. And so I just like love these weird problems that like everybody thinks about all the time. Like, where does my recycling really go?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to find out. Or like, how does composting work? Like, I've heard about it. I've heard I'm supposed to do it, but like, you know, how does it work? So that's really, I think, what is drawn me to it.
Cool.
Throughout the years. Yeah.
What's been one of the most surprising things that you've learned throughout this journey?
My opinions have matured. So I feel like I was very much in this camp of like, you know, renewable energy is the solution. Like, okay, like, you know, regenerative organic agriculture is the solution. And I would be very black and white. I would like learn about how what we're doing now is bad. And then I would be like, okay, well, the solution is perfect. But then you have to realize anything in real life has trade-offs. So yes, something might be better because it has less carbon emissions. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't have another side effect that like, what if then we change to like all solar? What are the trade-offs? Okay, it's going to take up more land. Are we willing to have it on every rooftop? Like, where is the battery power storage coming from? And what's going to be the impacts of that? And so like, just thinking about it and all these different layers, and it's sort of just like this interconnected web of, and then what you want, what you care about the most. So if you really care about not sending stuff to landfill, like you're going to want to reduce and like be more zero waste. Plastic ocean pollution. I like literally did a video about it in 2016. I was like, oh my God, there's trillions of tons of plastic in our oceans. This is so bad. It made me not to want to use plastic. Like every time I use plastic, I would like freak out. And like, I'd feel guilty, which I think a lot of people do. We like shame ourselves. But then I realized in the US, like, our mismanaged waste percentage is 2%. So like the chances of me being in New York City and like using plastic, putting it into a garbage bag, having it hauled to the dump, it's basically a 0% chance it's going to end up in the ocean. Hmm. Right. So like me not using plastic isn't like saving the oceans, but I like thought that that's how it worked. But then the more that I learned about systems, I was like, oh, it's so much. It's just like the answer is always, it depends. And so like, I feel like when I talk about climate topics, I probably like I am right now, go like way too deep into these like nuances when people really want to be like, well, what should I do to right. be like a sustainable person? And I'm just like, well, it depends. Like, if you live in certain areas, it might make more sense for you to just send stuff to the dump, because if they're exporting your recycling overseas to Indonesia, where it's not getting sorted properly or it's polluting their rivers, you think you're doing something good by putting the recycling, but maybe actually just sending it to your landfill that is 50 miles away, where it will just sit in a landfill and be controlled, is better. Yeah. And so I think it's like, so it's actually like, I feel bad because I wish I could be like, this is the way. But I find the more that I learn, it's, the answer is so much, it depends.
Well, how do you kind of divide the nuances in covering these stories? Because these are, you know, really short clips. This is kind of like the whole point of like these videos. But then you're trying to like really distill some of these like very big topics.
It's honestly so challenging. And I think that like I also make videos at a pace that sometimes I'm not able to like go as deep as I would go if it was like a 30-minute piece where you could talk to different people. And like, you have to then sometimes just like make generalizations. Or not like generalizations, but like, you know, talking about like something like renewable energy, like you just are, you're, let me start that over. So I think the thing about it is, you're right, it's so hard to distill it. And I even like think of some of my work from a few years ago. If I did it now, I maybe would have added in more nuance, but I wasn't at that level as a storyteller. And so now as I create work now, I'm always trying to integrate a paragraph of context or that like it depends moment. But even sometimes like I don't have the opportunity because I'm just going to like cover a really cool, sustainable business. And like, people aren't necessarily coming to it for that. Mm. So like, it just kind of depends. And I really honestly, like as a video producer and host, that's like what I'm really working toward is, how do I integrate the layers in a way that people don't leave the video and go, well, I don't care anymore because it's too complicated, and swing the other direction. So It's like what I think about a lot. I think about it all the time.
Yeah. Well, what's something that you have as a tip for someone living in the COVID age, working from home? Like, what is something that we can do?
Totally. Two things. I'll say the first thing is just being mindful of where you can cut down your waste. I think that so many people like just like jump to zero waste, but like just thinking about, you know, cutting down on paper towels, cutting down on those single use cups, cutting down on the cutlery, like those things are actually, if everybody did that well, like, and cut down their waste by 10%, that would have a huge impact. So don't, just because you can't go to zero waste, feel like those small actions aren't valuable.
Right. And not then I all also always,
yeah, exactly. And it's such a mind game. Like, it's so funny. I feel like climate's so overwhelming that people like, they're like, I'm going to do this now. And then if they fail at it, it's like starting a diet or something.
Yeah. And it's abstracted, right? Like, we don't see the waste in Indonesia that was our spoon or fork that we used at Central Park.
Exactly. It's, if you have the privilege and the budget and the access to have somehow buying a few of your meals a week or even a month from like knowing where the farmer who did it. So in New York, we have great farmers markets. And I just signed up for a CSA, like a subscription farm box this fall. And like, to me, that's one of the best things I can do because it's basically taking a big chunk of my carbon footprint. But knowing where your food comes from, I think is a really big way for where you can control what you're giving your money toward and what you're supporting.
But that's a really good one, the CSA box, because, you know, a lot more people are home, a lot more people are cooking because they have the time because they're not commuting anywhere. I think that's actually a really, really good one for people to subscribe to. Last question for you. I'm really curious because you mentioned this thing about the face wash, and I'm just like, oh man, did Lucy like break that story and like make that story go viral? Do you think about like the impact that like you have even just through your storytelling and like what you're able to kind of expose to the greater community in the world?
Yeah, that's such a good question because it makes me realize that you like understand what I do from just like me explaining myself just now. Like, feels really good because like, yes, I think about this a lot, especially 2015 to 2018, or actually maybe all the time, but like social media videos on Facebook used to be huge. Mm-hmm. And so I started covering like Standing Rock, and I'm not kidding you, nobody was covering it. There was a Facebook group about it with like 1,000 members. And I started covering it, and my videos would get, you know, 2 million views. And all of a sudden Bernie Sanders, like Facebook page would reshare my videos.
Wow.
And like at the end of it, we looked like our videos, we calculated at the end of the Standing Rock run before we actually went out there to film, and our videos on Standing Rock had garnered 90 million views on Facebook.
Wow.
I know we were doing it, and like AJ Plus was doing it. And then all of a sudden, like after we were doing it, these videos were going viral, like New York Times starts covering it. And then, you know, every time when we were out there, every news network was there. And like Obama literally said, I'm not going to let this pipeline go through, which has obviously now been reversed, because of the, you know, the pressure of the organizations. And like, I just think that I was somebody who like tapped into that energy in the right moment at the right time and like played a role of amplifying the message. Like it really was activists and everybody else on the ground who did all the work, but I just happened to be there and see it. And so it feels really good. And like, that's my favorite, like part of my job, honestly, is amplifying the people who like, this is their like life's work. Like, I feel like for me, if I could define what I am, I'm more like a storyteller, video producer, than I am like a sustainability expert.
Yeah.
But I love to tell their stories.
Well, Lucy, how can people get in touch with you if they have an amazing story that they want you to break?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I love that. Well, they can look, find me on Instagram and DM me, and I like, Instagram is Lucy Biggers. And then usually if somebody has a story for me, I'll say, can you just email me? And my email is lucy@nowthismedia.com.
Well, Lucy, I super appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I think it's amazing.
Thank you so much.
We hope you feel empowered after this episode to take action, get involved, and keep yourself educated. We encourage everyone to go out and exercise their right to vote and make a difference this year. If there's any proof that what we do as individuals can make an impact, it's hearing stories like the one that Lucy told about Standing Rock that makes this true. Tune in again next week, Green Rebels. Season 3 of Trash Talking with Eco Warriors is sponsored by Plain Products. Plain Products is a zero-waste personal care company that uses refillable aluminum bottles. Their shampoos, soaps, and oils are toxin-free and vegan, so they're good for you and good for the planet. Visit the link in the show notes or go to plainproducts.com. That's P-L-A-I-N-E products.com and use promo code TRASHY20 to get 20% off your first order of zero-waste shampoos, conditioners, and hand sanitizer.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.